Well, still in Romans, and you see what we're doing, right? I mean, I hope you see this. We've slowed our pace down as soon as we hit Romans chapter 6. And we're taking you by the hand and leading you to the promised land. Really. We're taking you step by step. And we're being patient. But we're taking you to that place where God desires you to be. And that is in this full union with Him, abiding in Christ, in deep fellowship with Him, finding your joy and your purpose in Him as He intended you to have. That's where we're going. And so we're going there one step at a time. We're quietly, without fanfare, covering. You see, this stuff is not as juicy as some things we cover. It's not. But it's absolutely foundational to what God has called you to. So we, without fanfare, we are covering the essentials of salvation. The very essentials of you knowing God, of walking with Christ, having victory over sin. So no matter how much you know, you can have the most educated person in the world, that person still struggles with sin. So do they have victory over sin? It's not just through their knowledge. So what we are doing is taking you step by step here to what it means to walk with Christ, what it means to have victory over sin, to not live in vain, to have a faithful, a fruitful, and joyful life of union with Christ. And you could take just, in one sense, you don't need the messages. You could take Romans, you could just start with chapter 1 and go through. When you hit chapter 6, you can start paying even more attention. And you can connect with God over this. And He will do some things in you. But it's the responsibility of the church. We've taken on this responsibility to help you, to give you a plan to get there. So one of the things we do, and you'll find on the website, southjordancommunitychurch.com, you'll find the messages there. You can go look at the outlines. But there's some other tools that we've put there, or we are in the process of putting there. Right, Tyler? that will help you. And this is the taking you by the hand and leading you to the promised land part. So, there's the article, the presenting Christ. We handed those out in church. But, that'll be available on the line, online. Presenting Christ. You need to look for that. The other one is, the first one I should say. The first one is the surrender sheet. Presenting Christ is already online. I'm not sure about the surrender sheet. Surrender sheet that we handed out here. Surrender sheet. Presenting Christ. There's homework for last week's message. It'll be online. The ladies use it on Wednesday night. The homework will be online. And the homework for today will be online. So that's four items that you need to get a hold of that will walk you through this process. I don't mean that it's just a knowledge thing and ask you questions to repeat. It will ask you to turn to God on this item and turn to God on this and that. So it'll guide you through this process if this is what you desire. If you desire to have this kind of union with Christ, to be fruitful, to have joy in your fellowship with Him, to reflect, to be the aroma of Christ, then this is sort of a plan. So in 5 years, from 5 years from now, I hope you're not having the same struggles that you're having today. That's possible, you know. It's possible to go 20 years and be a believer and still be dominated by the flesh. Because the flesh, remember we talked about that, the old man, the old nature doesn't grow, doesn't get any better. So it's possible to have the same struggles, but you should not. You should be growing. You should be being conformed to the image of Christ, and you should be beginning to produce a harvest for the kingdom. So in 5 years, I hope, it's my prayer, that you will not be in the same place you are today. That you will be growing and producing a harvest for the kingdom. But this will not happen automatically. It does not just happen by itself. So I confess to you, it does, as I started off a little somberly this morning, it weighs me down to see us so easily distracted, and to have a casual approach to the most powerful truths and the answer to our deepest struggles. Because that's where we are. And I would dare say, we have the most distractions we've ever had in your personal lives. There are the most distractions going on in your life right now than I've ever witnessed before. And in this church. Distractions. I'm not saying it's all bad stuff. But it weighs me down that for these God's people, if they don't get this truth, you see, we probably won't be here again actually dealing with the deep truths of Romans in such a full fashion. Well, it'll probably be 5 years before we get here again. This is sort of the heart and soul of this church. This is where we started. But we probably won't come. We'll go on. We'll move on. You know, we'll go to Galatians and we'll go to other books of the Bible. And we'll go to some topics and we'll move on. But these are the truths that we live by. And so if we take a casual approach, or if it's like, oh, well, I won't be there this time. I might have a little sniffle. I'm not going to come to church today. And then you miss something. I'm sorry if that sounds like... And then in 5 years from now, that great important thing is you can't remember what it was. But now you've missed the truths that God intended you to have. And you're in the same place you were. And you come and you want to know why you're struggling in your marriage. And you want to know why the same sin keeps coming up. And I say, you missed it. It's not too late. Let's go back and get it. But God intends you to have it now. And so, I'm thankful that we have these things recorded. We can go back and we can look at them. But if you missed and you do not respond to the truths of Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, in 5 years from now, you'll have the same struggles, you'll have the same arguments with your spouse, you'll have the same discussions, and you'll be the same not fruitful. Is that a hard word? We got to get this stuff. If we're going to be where we need to be as a church, where you need to be, where God has called you to live worthy of the calling, to bear fruit, to have the joy of union with Him, and to be fully devoted to God. Fully devoted. And I'm not talking about work. You've got to know that. We have been through Romans. You know I'm not talking about earning your salvation. You know I'm not talking about doing this in your own strength, because none of us here can do it. And I would be the least likely to be able to do it. So, if you've been here, if you've gotten it, then you've done well. Yet, it's going to take more. It's going to take you going to God with these things and actually submitting your will to Him and working through this with Him. It doesn't happen automatically. Chapter 6 was the plain and simple truth. If you are a believer, then you've been identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That means you have new life. You have resurrection power. And you have that available to you. So it's real. This is not some dusty theological truth. This is real. You have, if you are a believer, if you put your trust in Christ, then you have been identified. Your old man, your flesh, was on the cross. Your sin is paid for. You've been imputed with the righteousness of Christ. You're accepted fully, fully by God. And you have available to you the power to live the Christ life that we're called to live. So that is real. You have that if you're a believer. You have it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to conjure it up. You don't have to go back and study to get it. It's there. You have it. But we do have to apply faith. We have to believe God that is real. Understanding and applying these truths are the things, these things right here, and I know I've shared this with you, I don't know how many times, but these things have affected me more than anything else in my Christian walk. And one of the things is to clear up my thinking here. Because, you know, I can, as a young Christian, one of the things that I thought was, if I can just have an experience with God, it'll take care of this sin problem. It'll take care of this. I'll have joy in my walk. If I can just maybe go to a service where the music is just powerful and I can just have this emotional experience with God, then it'll take care of it. But in studying through Romans, I realize that those things are good. If we have that, that's really good. But it's by faith. And sometimes that is grueling, by faith. Because faith is not easy. As I was talking to the kids this morning. It's like you have to believe what seems like it's not true. You have to believe that you have been separated from the sin nature. You have to reckon it to be true that you're dead to sin and alive to Christ. You have to believe that. And that's a difficult thing to believe sometimes. The other was, that was one element of this that really impacted me. The next was surrender. This whole idea of having a heart fully devoted to the Lord. That means that it's not fully devoted to something else. It's fully devoted to the Lord. And whatever that other thing is, it falls in line with my desire for God. So, let's go to a verse here that I mentioned this morning. It was 1 Kings. I know, we're in Romans. And you've already, if you look on your outline there on the back of your bulletin, there's references to the verses that we've been talking about. Romans 6, 1 through 4 and such. But let's go to 1 Kings 11 for one of my sad verses. 1 Kings 11:4. As Solomon grew old, remember this was a man who had a very productive life. He had done mighty and great things in the name of the Lord. He really had. Not just pretend. He really had. His wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. Now we all know that David did not live a perfect life. But you see, David did not take those off ramps all the way to idolatry. You see, Solomon took this off ramp of these wives. That was his off ramp. What's your off ramp? It's something. Your off ramp that takes you away from your heart being fully devoted to the Lord. What is your off ramp? Do you know where that's going to lead you? Idolatry. That's where it's going to lead you. That's what you see, those women were not really the problem with Solomon. That was just the thing that Satan used to get him. He used different things to get you. Or he might use that too. Certainly is a common tool. Sorry. But what's your off-ramp? That off-ramp, that thing that's wonderful, it may not be sinful in and of itself. That leads to idolatry. To take you from your heart being fully devoted to the Lord. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing. We surrender our will to Him. So, we'll get to the answer to that today. Okay? We've already been dealing with that. Presenting Christ, the surrender sheet, Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7. But back to our quick review. With Christ as our substitute, our sins have completely been paid for. And I know I've reminded you that 1,000 times, but we have to be reminded of that because we like to bring it up to ourselves, or the enemy likes to bring it up to us. But our sins have been completely paid for at the cross, never to be remembered by God. And not only this, but there was an exchange program where we gave Him our sin, He gave us righteousness. So, that is why we can approach God now. Because we have the righteousness of Christ. Not dependent upon how we performed yesterday, the day before, last week. You have full and complete access as equal to anyone. You have access to God. Because of the righteousness of Christ. Not because of your performance. Now we know there are things that break our fellowship with God. That's obvious. So if there's some verses listed there in your outline. Romans 4:1-8, Romans 5:1-2. Verse 17. We are, not only can we live a new life, we are fully accepted by God. Okay, these are the boring facts, right? these are the facts that we need to believe. These things we've just gone over. Our old self, our old nature, the flesh, was put to death through identification with the cross and is no longer our master. We now can say no. You know, sometimes I think we believe that we have a stronger flesh than somebody else. You know, we think that there's a 70-year-old woman and she's, you know, she doesn't have the same temptations like you have. You know, you're 20 years old or whatever. It's just different. It's just different. But it's the same. Flesh is still there. But it still has no power over you. In either case, if it has been separation, if it's been put to death. We know, though, it's possible to yield to that flesh rather than our new nature. But we must put that scriptural knowledge that we just reviewed, we must put that into practice by faith. We count on it to be true. We reckon it to be true. The old nature has no power over us as we surrender in faith to Christ. So we believe all those things to be true that we just talked about, we just reviewed. You know what happens when you believe all those things to be true? When you really believe it? You bear the fruit of the Spirit. You bear the nature and the character of Christ. You can love. You have joy. You have peace. You have patience. You have all those things. That is the fruit of believing those things. So we also looked at the role of obedience in abiding. So we know that obedience doesn't get your abiding, doesn't earn your abiding, but you can break your abiding through not obeying. If you love me, you will obey me. It's the proof of your abiding, is that you are obeying. So then, that takes us to Romans chapter 7. And then it gets personal in Romans chapter 7. It speaks of the intense struggle that we all experience. Romans 7, 14 to 23. The struggle is intense. Because the things that you want to do, you cannot do. The things that you do not want to do, you do. The thoughts you don't want to have, you think. The words you don't want to say, you end up saying. The thing you don't want to click on the computer, you end up clicking on the computer. The thing you don't want to pursue, you do pursue. And you're a wreck. You're a wreck because of this struggle. That is many times. That's our experience. And as we move towards the truth, the answer to that problem, because that is our problem, oh wretched man that I am, as we move towards the answer, we rebel against the answer. For a few reasons. There's a few reasons we rebel against it. One is, I think these are on your outline, we begin to comprehend the reality of the cross and we run from that level of surrender. You see, we don't want to belong. That we want the joy, and we want the friends, and we want the church stuff, maybe. But we really want to hang on to what we want to hang on to. And that prevents us from enjoying the union with Christ that He desires us to have. We start to see, we get a glimpse of that surrender, and we turn away from it. We don't want what comes with it. And then, another thing that keeps us, that causes us to rebel against that truth, is unbelief. Simple, plain unbelief. When push comes to shove and it comes down to it, we refuse to believe the magnificent truths of Romans chapter 6. We refuse to believe that we can be the aroma of Christ. We refuse to believe that we can overcome sin. We refuse to believe that we can have peace, we can have joy, we can love our enemies. We refuse to believe that that could not be true. We may not say it in those words, but we refuse to believe it. So unbelief hinders us. It's a part of our rebellion against this union with Christ that's woven through chapter 6, 7, and 8. Another reason that we rebel, that we do not, is that there's simply a lack of teaching or knowledge. The church in general has a fear of running people off or offending someone, or a fear of relying on God Himself to maintain the life of the church rather than contriving something to maintain the life of the church. Many a church would die if it was just dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Now that doesn't make sense. Well, yeah, because we keep going and the church keeps meeting and we keep having programs long after the Holy Spirit has departed. Because it becomes a man-made thing. Because it's a scary thing to rely solely upon the power of the Holy Spirit, because He asks something of us. He asks us to be fully devoted to Him and to surrender our will to Him and to operate in His power by faith. And that is an uncomfortable place to be, but that's where He calls us to be, and that's the life He's called us to live, is that life of faith. That is the life of producing fruit. It's the life of joy. It is. It's the life of fellowship with God. Our attitude goes south because we refuse God's method of growth. Because of what we just described is His method of growth. We would prefer other things. We would prefer to go to a class. We would prefer to learn. We would prefer knowledge or discipline even, but not this. Not surrender. Not dying to self. We see there's more to Christianity than happy songs and being nice and not doing certain things. We see the standard and we recognize that we cannot live up to it. And we see the cost and we are afraid. We're afraid. And we would rather go back to blissful ignorance. I've as much as had people tell me that. They don't want this truth. They would rather go back, in a sense, to God's mercy, the way He was dealing with me before I knew these things. Now I know them, and now they are required of me. And I'd rather go back to the days of blissful ignorance, but you cannot. You cannot go back to being a child, can you? When you're an adult, and the things you enjoyed as a child, you don't get to go back to those blissful days. If your childhood was blissful, you can't go back. You're an adult now. And you've received the truth. And you can't go back. There's a better way, though. There is a better way if we will take it. So, now we're struggling. We're in Romans chapter 7. And we are struggling. There is a battle. There's a war going on in our soul. The flesh against the new man. Hopefully we come to this point. Romans 7:24. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Hopefully, that's not a very comfortable place to be, is it? Does that sound like fun? That is not a lighthearted statement. That is a agony statement. That's an agony that we would just as soon avoid. And in some ways it can be avoided. We can shut our eyes to it. But you see, we can go pretending we have something we don't have. We can do that for a long time. And then we come to this place. Oh, we wake up. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I don't have what I've said. I don't have all this joy and stuff that these people... Not really, I don't have it. Not really. Well, you can really have it. It can be real. It can be real. Do you want the abundant life, the true Christ life? Then you must walk this path. And it is not comfortable. But if you're living in Romans chapter 7, take heart. Because what follows is Romans chapter 8. And it's good news. So don't stop. Oh, wretched man that I am, that's okay if you're there. We all got to go there. It's okay. Right now, even now you feel the guilt of failure. Shame. That's okay. You got to go there if you want to get here. If you want to get to Romans chapter 8, to the good news. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, because of Romans chapters 1 through 7 that we have studied, things are completely different now. Because you've been joined to Christ, you are in Christ. You are in union with Him, identified with Christ. Then you have the hope of victory. The law condemns all those who are under the law, unbelievers, because they are constantly disobeying. But those who are in Christ, He has taken our punishment and lives righteousness through us. If we will but yield ourselves to Him. And just as a side note, there's no big screen in heaven, in eternity, playing back your sins to you. The tapes have been destroyed. It's not going to happen. The blood of Christ completely paid for your sin. There is no condemnation for us. Verses 2 to 4. Because through Christ Jesus, we're going to get to the answer here. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. What the law was powerless to do and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. The beauty of this truth can be, when you look at it deeply, it can be so overwhelming that it makes you want to look away. And that's really what I described already this morning. But don't. Run to it. From the heights of chapters 1 through 6 and the depths of chapter 7, we can see this truth, we can believe it, and we can live it. We can have this union with Christ. The law could not make us right and acceptable, and neither can new rules that we make today. What the law says is good, yet we are too weak to obey it. Swim harder and still drown. We can't do it in our own strength. But now, as we know, as we've mentioned hundreds of times, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and as we submit to Him, He does it. We could not obey before, but now we can by faith because we've been set free. Hence the title, which I took from Martin Luther King Jr., Free, Free, Free at Last. And this is freedom that even goes deeper than that freedom. We have been set free. Free to obey. Free to have peace with God. Free to have joy of fellowship with Him. If you are not in sweet fellowship with God. Does that describe? That's kind of a corny way to put it, isn't it? Like the old time guys used to talk like that. But if you are not in sweet fellowship with God, if you are not obeying, if you're not bearing fruit, it's not God's fault. He has provided and put all the mechanics and the equipment in place in your life when you trusted Him. It's you choosing self over God. Remember I mentioned that example to you? So, I'm not saying to actually do this, but so someone stands next to you and they say, oh, things just aren't working out in my life. And I'm so depressed and I just can't get over this. And I'm just... Oh, it's dark. And you put your arm around them and you say, I'm so sorry that you're reaping the fruit of the flesh. Come, submit to God and have life. There's a better way to put that, but still it's true. We still are choosing self over God. And that we see in verses 2 through 4. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do and that it was weakened by the sinful nature God did by sending His own Son, the likeness of sinful man, to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful man in order that righteous requirements of the law might fully be met in us, who do not live according to sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. He has provided everything we need to be partakers of divine nature. He has provided that for us. We've read this before, but let's go there quick. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. And I encourage you that, as I mentioned when we started off, that this message does not stand alone, okay? This stands on top of what we taught with Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 6, and what we went into detail on with the surrender sheet, and even presenting Christ. So, we're not necessarily giving you all of the description of surrender and what it means to die to self. You'll find that, though, in the stuff that we've already covered. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So then he goes on to talk about our growth, and through these he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and he goes on. Do you believe this? you may participate in the divine nature. Do you believe that? You know, it's not, I can't. You know, I just don't want to hear that. I can't. Of course you can't. It's not what God said. He's given you something. He's done a divine spiritual surgery upon you. And by faith, you can live a different life. By faith, you can have union with Him. But you don't know my situation. I don't. And you don't know mine completely. He offers us this. He's done the work. We must believe it. He has given us. We can participate in the divine nature. Then verses 5 through 8, back to Romans 8. I know I've already read these. But those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what that Spirit desires. So that is a powerful verse. There's so much there. What is your mind set on and what do you desire? What are you pursuing? And does that line up with what the Spirit desires and what the Spirit is pursuing? That can be a little thing to you of, am I walking in the Spirit? It can give you a hint. What are you pursuing? There's an astounding truth in these verses that has and that reveals what we have and what is available to us in intimacy with Christ and pleasing Him. And I know I've shared this truth with you before, but I remember one time I was meditating on this verse, and the thing that stood out to me was just amazing. You know, there are relationships in this world that can be just really good. You know, we can have, and I know you can have a relationship with a spouse, it can be really bad, it can be the worst relationship, it has the potential to be the worst and the best of relationships in the world. And if you've been married for very long, you've probably experienced both ends of the spectrum. But the relationship with your spouse is good, and there's not a relationship on earth that's better than that when it's good. Yet, as good as that is, you know, I cannot, as much as I can know Lori and I can know her heart, and I can't have her same desire, though. You know, sometimes we'll have the same desire, the same love for Caleb or whatever, but I can't really know, in that sense of experience, what she desires. You know, I can know Jesus better than I can know my wife. But those who live in the course of their Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. You can desire the things of the Spirit. Do you know, like, you've experienced this probably, where you have a love for someone that you have no reason to love that person. You have such a deep concern for their soul, for what's going on with them. Or you have this deep concern that someone doesn't know God. They're separated from God, and it's like, More than life itself, you want to see them connected to God. You have this love. Well, where does that come from? You see, you are you can even have pain over that. You're experiencing the desires of Christ. You can know Him to a depth. That is to me the beauty of the union with Christ, is that to the depth that we can know Him and have intimacy with Him. And that thing that Adam and Eve lost, the saddest verse in the Bible, that thing that they lost, we have made available to us in our union with Christ. We can walk with God in the cool of the day, and He promised us to meet our every need. That union, that abiding, that fellowship with Him. The desires of Christ become our desires. We experience His very desires. We can recognize those desires in us, because they always align with Scripture. And they're always in sync and step with the nature and the character of Christ. But there is a lingering problem here. We're not willing to let go of our own desires to experience the desires of Christ. That's a sad story. C.S. Lewis, I don't remember the exact place it the way that he put it, but it was something along the lines of, we want to sit and eat mud pies in the street rather than go to the coast and have a luxurious feast of real food. is that we satisfy ourselves with the things that we can provide. Our desires that we hang on to that may seem good at the time. But God has so much more. Yet we hang on to what we have, and that prevents us from getting what He has. Do you see that? When we hang on to our desires, you see, those things are not easy to let go of. They're not easy to let go of. If you look at this flippantly, and you think, oh, I got that, Steve, then you're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. Because there is a struggle to let go of our desires. But there is having His desires. There is that surrender, that dying to self that takes place. I'm not saying this is one time happening and you never deal with this again. That's not what we're talking about. There's a daily dying to self. But sometimes there's a big hump to get over. Not only does taking on the desires of Christ and setting our minds on what the Spirit desires dramatically change the focus in our life. You see, when we daily do this for a while, and what you see, the thing that's undeniable, you can't hide it. You can act nice, you know what I mean? You can act nice in a setting, or you can act nice for a day or two, and maybe you can even act nice if it comes natural to you every time I see you. But if there's a driving force and a passion in your life for the purposes of God and the world, that's a harder thing to pretend. Because everything about your life feeds into that. And you're living for the purposes of God. Now that is a result of this being aligned with Him. It's a result of it. You can't fake that. It changes the focus in our life and what we are pursuing, and it opens doors for friendship with Christ. John 15:15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. That sweet fellowship with Jesus. That's what He's calling us to. And it's no accident that these words of Christ in John chapter 15 follow right on His comments about abiding, the essence of union with Him. So when I'm aware of those desires that are in line with Jesus' desires, such as to fulfill the Great Commission or to win the lost, to go and make disciples, to love the unlovely or to forgive instantly, when I'm aware of that in me, then I should be acutely aware of whose desire it really is and relish the intimacy with Christ that I have at that moment. In fact, it's this principle of union with Christ that really should motivate our service. You see, and then when our service doesn't work out like we intended it to, and discouragement is not such an issue. Because it's this union with Christ, this intimacy to Him that motivates our service, that motivates our work for the Lord. So, I would encourage you, and as I started off warning you, it was not a lighthearted thing that we were dealing with this morning. And I would encourage you not to think because you had a moment of guilt this morning, or a moment of inspiration, or some truth that struck you this morning, to not think that it's a done deal. I would encourage you, as I said, it's faith. It's not your works. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes faith is grueling. Sometimes it's getting alone with God. It's digging out your Bible and meditating and looking and studying. You can use those tools that we talked about. You can use those things to help you along. So, and that's why I'm saying that we, the church, have this responsibility to take you by the hand and lead you into the promised land, this place of union and abiding in Christ. But yet we can't do it for you. As much as sometimes I want to. As much as sometimes at different times I've tried to do and failed. This is something you have to turn to God. You have to work through these truths with Him. So we've provided the tools for you. We've got those. The surrender sheet. Presenting Christ. Last week's homework. This week's homework. It's going to take some time. It'll take a little effort on your part. But get along with God. Because what those things are full of is full of Scripture. They'll guide you through God's Word. And the Holy Spirit will bring those things to life as you yield yourself to Him and abide in Christ and know the joy of union with Him that nothing in this world can break.